So my name is Beverly, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I am grateful to be here with you and abstinent today. So strong meetings. Who needs strong meetings? Anybody? Anybody? So we all need strong meetings. And it's like meetings are the go-to. When I'm struggling, like the first thing for me is like, I better get to a meeting, right? And I need it to be a strong meeting. And how do you do that? And, you know, we all had a kind of a little reset in 2020 that really threw us for a loop and impacted our meetings. And things are different now. And, you know, thank goodness for Zoom. But I noticed my Zoom meetings, it's like, do we not have business meetings anymore? Yeah. We did face-to-face. Why is it so hard to get anybody to read anything in a Zoom meeting? Like, what's up with that? It's like some of that service stuff fell off the map. So I want to do a little bit of interactive here and do what I used to call popcorn sharing. And somebody said, could you do it not a food? So I call it pop-up sharing. So if you would pop up and just shout out, hopefully it'll come on the mic, what makes a meeting strong? What do strong meetings offer? Anybody?
Abstinence.
Attraction.
Participation.
Continuity.
Diversity.
Enthusiasm.
Variation.
Did you say variation? Okay.
Welcoming spirit.
I love that.
Honesty.
Okay.
Acknowledging the newcomer.
Yep. What does that newcomer or the member who is struggling with their food need from the meeting when they go to the meeting?
Support.
Hope.
Someone to listen. Not being overwhelmed or talked at. Witnessed.
I like that.
Hearing solutions.
Yeah. Hearing their own story. Yep. That's called identification. Yeah. So when there's a newcomer in my meeting, I like to talk about what it was like for me 30 years ago. Somebody in my inner group calls it the elevator pitch. Like, what it was like, what happened. Hey, it's different now. And I love what I call gut level sharing. It was bad. And I don't have to live that way anymore. Because I'm guessing if they're brand new to OA or if they're in relapse, things are bad. And they need to hear that it doesn't have to stay that way, that it was that way for me too. And somehow I crawled out of that, and so they can too. They need to hear hope. So let's flip the tables a little bit. How do you not build a strong meeting? How do you sabotage a meeting? Yeah.
Complain about your week.
No recovery. Say again?
Start late.
Nobody speaks.
Only one person.
Yeah. Somebody dominates the meeting.
The same people doing the same service.
No rotation of service. Yep.
Outside issues.
Yep. what do you call them? I always say this wrong. Cliques or cliques, you know? You go talk to the people you know, and the newcomer is over there feeling really uncomfortable, right, and not knowing. Crosstalk. I once took my niece, who is morbidly obese, to an OA meeting, and she shared, she shared. And one of the things she said struck somebody in the room as wrong. And they crosstalked. And she came out in tears and has never been back. Never been. Meetings need to be safe. Safe, right? Okay. I will say how I used to sabotage a meeting. I used to go to a small meeting, rural area, Montana, and we had really small meetings, like three or four of us, right? And we all had to drive to the meetings. And the morning of the meeting, the phone tree would start. Are you going to the meeting? I don't know. Are you? I don't know. I was thinking. And it sort of had this odd, like, well, I'm not, okay, if you're not going, I will enable you not going by me not going too. And I cringe now to think of the times the newcomer showed up and no one was there, that the door was locked. So there's something, it's somewhere in the big book, and I can't quote pages and all that, but something in one of the stories made an impression on me. And it's like, what if I'm going to a crummy meeting? And they talk about in the big book, like, there's too much cigarette smoke, there's drunkologues, there's, like, do you ever find yourself in that meeting that you're like, oh boy, like, this is a heavy meeting, this is going to be a heavy lift, you know? And I don't mean anything about body size with that. That was a poor choice of words. And I can complain about that meeting, and I can never go back, right? Or I can do what that big book story talks about. I can bring what I need. I am responsible for bringing what I need. I am actually responsible for my experience of every single meeting I go to. And I can tell you, at some point, Zoom, I got tired of Zoom. I'm like, boring, you know, in my head. I was like, oh my God, can I do one more? And I found myself inattentive, right? Like, what are they talking about? And so what I am responsible for my experience of a meeting. So what I started doing was I had a notebook out there, and I'm actively looking for nuggets of identification, of hope, of, oh, there's a spiritual thought. And when I was looking, guess what? They were there. And when I shared, that's what I needed to bring to that meeting. So I am big, big on personal responsibility in a meeting. Zoom meetings, I think we missed a bet at the beginning of the pandemic. This is a disease of isolation. And when I am here in this room, you see me, I see you. And I am talking, and pretty much everybody in the room is giving, you are looking at me, and I'm able to see your faces. And in Zoom, that level of presence, I once spoke at a Zoom meeting. I got some meeting somewhere, needed a speaker, and I stopped after just a couple minutes, and I said, I'm talking to a bunch of black boxes. If there are any of you out there who can't turn on your camera, please, please turn on your camera for me. And I go to meetings, I cross paths with sponsees in meetings, and one of them, we were doing our little call one day, and I said, hey, what's up with you and your camera off in the meetings? She's like, well, I'm working. I'm like, so you're trying to work and be at an OA meeting? Yeah. it's the only time. No, 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 no. And I said, you are doing yourself a disservice. You are doing the meeting a disservice. You are not connecting. You are not being seen. You are not building community. How will you change this? And she got it. I might have been being a little directive, but I believe in calling it as I see it, and I want her to have that connection. And I want her to be of service. So she started going to a Zoom meeting that's not during her work hours. What a concept. And it changed her experience. She was like, wow, way different. Way different. And so that's back to the personal responsibility. We can't do anything. I asked, and I got a few faces, you know, show up for me. So let's see. You know, I was just at assembly, and we were talking. The theme kept coming up. We were doing kind of the strategic planning thing, and how do we build service, build recovery, build, you know, all this stuff. And the concept of a home group kept coming up. And it was so interesting because it was in different contexts. We were talking about face-to-face meetings, and I would have thought it would have been there. But it came up in the recovery focus. And it seems to me that every meeting needs like 2-3 people who will nurture that meeting, who will show up, who will say, hey, business meeting day, you know, we need to get together. How are we doing? And I look at a business meeting a little bit as just sort of like a mini inventory of our meeting. Like the strong meeting checklist, which I passed around, might be a really good thing for a meeting to look at and say, you know, how are we doing with these things? And if we're not doing, how are we going to become a stronger meeting? Service to a meeting. So I tell my sponsees from the get-go, service, because I want them to connect, and I want them to have personal responsibility for the meetings that they're going to. And I said, I want you to, when services ask in the meeting, I want your hand to go up. And this is like super important. And she's like, well, I'm like, no, I don't know how to do anything. And it's like, that meeting asks, would someone run the timer? Can you run a timer on your phone? Yeah. Okay. And I got to the next week, I'm sitting in the meeting, the leader said, who'll be our timer? And her hand shot up in the air. And I'm like, go baby. Go baby. Part of what I needed in a way was to learn to contribute. That my contribution was really valuable. And what does it say in a meeting when the leader says, will someone read the steps? And there's silence. What does that communicate? What does that mean? I don't think it means something good. I don't. I look at my notes here. Okay, so I've got like 5 minutes left. I'm supporting other meetings. Okay. When I first came to OA, I started OA actually in Seattle. Went to Montana, now I'm in Portland, Oregon. The very first meeting I ever went to, a very small meeting, probably not what one would call a thriving meeting, rainy night, and one person there other than myself, and he held a meeting for me. He put out that sign. He had the, he put a big book in my hands. He handed me a meeting list for, this was 30 years ago, lots of meetings in Greater Seattle and what was then Eastside Intergroup. And I looked at it. I happened to live in Bellevue, this little suburb, right? And I scanned the list for Bellevue. And I said, oh, there's not very many meetings in Bellevue. And he said to me, oh, well, you might have to be willing to drive. And I will forever be grateful that he said that to me, because it's my first meeting, and I might have let that be an obstacle, right? And so now, like, we're coming back in Oregon Intergroup from the pandemic, and pre-pandemic, we had 55 meetings a week, I think, or something like that, face-to-face. You could find an OA meeting to go to any day of the week in my intergroup, and multiple meetings if you wanted to. You know what? I am looking at, from something I heard in assembly, that I am very comfy cozy going to my Thursday 10 a.m. meeting in Beaverton that is quite convenient for me. And I know that we went from 55 or so opportunities a week for a face-to-face meeting, and I believe now we have 11. And they're all over the metro area. Some of them are just not all that darn convenient for me. And something somebody said made that man's like, you might have to be willing to drive. And do I also, beyond my little home meeting, do I maybe also have a responsibility to support those other face-to-face meetings getting started? I think I might. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this I am responsible. And maybe that doesn't mean just when it's convenient. Maybe not. And it makes a couple of those other meetings look a whole lot more doable to me. And they're great meetings, by the way. They're like powerhouse meetings. I'd be doing myself a favor, too. I look at my notes for a second and see, oh, I almost forgot the best part. So, I'm a big Tradition 5 person. Our primary purpose is to carry the message to those who are still suffering. And I believe that what I do and what we do should be focused towards that. So, is my yes, I go to a meeting because I need it, but really, I need to be there for the newcomer. I need to be there for the person who's still suffering. And you know what? That's in our OA 12. I love to challenge you all to give Tradition 5 a read and a study. And it is profound to me what's in there. I'm going to read just a little bit. It talks about the principles of recovery, which, if you're not familiar, each step has a spiritual principle associated with it. And they're at the beginning of each step. This is from page 120, Tradition 5. Tradition 5 reminds us that our recovery doesn't come from simply discussing our problems with each other. It is in the OA message, in our steps and traditions, that we find solutions to our problems. Living by these principles has saved our lives. Honesty, hope, faith, courage, integrity, willingness, humility, self-discipline, love, perseverance, spiritual awareness, service, unity, trust, identity, I'm trying to outrun my clock, autonomy, purpose, solidarity, responsibility, fellowship, structure, neutrality, anonymity, and spirituality. Now, here we go. These principles, rather than our problems, should be the focus of every OA meeting. Whoa. Whoa. So what I need to be talking about when I go to a meeting is like, wow, I had this moment the other day where I so wanted to lie. I so wanted to hide. And I had like a recovery moment where I did and said the honest thing. I spoke my truth. That is the spiritual principles. Thank you. And I'm going to wrap up with this. OA groups need to focus on meeting the needs of newcomers and struggling members. In my first years of OA, meeting leaders would suggest that we introduce ourselves to newcomers at break time. Despite their numerous reminders, I never did, nor did many other members. God only knows how many newcomers, I'm going to insert, or struggling members, walked out of those OA doors never to return. Okay, so that's my share. Thanks for listening. And my time is up.